going to turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy, over to the New Testament book, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And there's just one verse in particular I want to read here with you and base our message upon this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and it is the verse number 12. And that was really the theme of the last hymn that we were singing. And no doubt that hymn was based upon the words of this great verse. And I just read that verse with you, just one verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. It says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And may the Lord bless this short reading of his eternal and infallible word to our hearts. Perhaps we could maybe just stand to our feet for a short word of prayer, just to change our position before the ministry of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us already in our gathering tonight, for the singing of thy praises, the reading of thy word, and all that has taken place even in this Remembrance Night service. And Lord, as we come now to thy precious and holy word, still our hearts, O God, before thee. Let the word of the Lord have free course tonight. And Lord, bless it to every heart. And Lord, give me that fresh portion of the Holy Ghost, that fresh anointing, that fresh infilling, to preach thy word with power, we ask. And Lord, bless and use thy word tonight to the strengthening of the saints of Zion. Use it, Lord, to the saving of precious souls. Use it, Lord, to the glorifying and the exaltation of Christ. Abide with us now, we pray. Draw very near, and may thy word find a resting place in hearts and souls in this gathering, and also those who would listen in online, and that through the going forth of thy precious word, that souls would seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Hear in heaven thy dwelling place, and answer prayer, for we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks for all thy mercies to us. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now tonight here in this remembrance service, we remember the gallantry and also the sacrifice of those in the two world wars, other international conflicts, and also the troubles here in Northern Ireland, who have given their life for our freedom today. Indeed, we thank God for those who have courageously stood against the enemy. As we think tonight of those who are sorrowing because of loss, we remember sorrowing loved ones, and we pray that they will know God's comforting, the comforting hand of God on this Remembrance Night evening. And again, for those that would bear injury, especially through the troubles here in Northern Ireland and would have to deal with trauma day by day, we pray that they will know the presence of the Lord, God's healing touch, and that strength that comes from the Lord. Indeed, today is the exact date of the Enniskillen bombing at the Cenotaph here in the town 33 years ago. Indeed, there are those of you in the service tonight who carry and bear the scars and the wounds of that awful day. And remember you very especially in our prayers, and those in the town and the immediate community here who bore great sorrow and loss through that awful day at the Cenotaph 33 years ago. Also this year, 2020, is a year that has been marked by another warfare. Yes, the enemy is unseen in itself, but my, its effects are seen and evident all around us. And no doubt we refer to the coronavirus pandemic. Indeed, for those that have been bereaved through this virus, we pray that they too will know much of God's comfort and grace. For those that are ill with it and are dealing with the effects of it, we pray that they will know recovery and strength by God's almighty hand. Yes, we pray for protection of those in the front line in our medical services as they would deal with this situation. Indeed, also we are mindful to pray for our government, that they would be given wisdom in dealing with this whole situation and the crisis throughout our land and our nation at this time. Yes, the bravery of our armed forces, indeed those also in the medical profession fighting this virus. really reminds us also how courage is needed to live the Christian life. And it's very interesting to note that in the Bible, God's Word often likens the life of the Christian to that of a soldier. That analogy is often used in the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 2, there Paul was speaking to Timothy and he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And my, it is indeed this picture of a Christian being a soldier for Christ that is highlighted in our text, in our verse this evening here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse number 12, where it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." In this chapter before us here, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was a young Christian, a young man in the church of Christ at that particular time. And as Paul here writes to him and directs him in this chapter before us, he says to him, he counsels him to flee foolish and hurtful lusts. In other words, he was telling him to flee sin and turn his back upon sin and those ungodly ways of this world. He also tells him to follow after righteousness and godliness, faith and love, patience and meekness. And by those words of counsel, he was encouraging him in his life as a young man to live for God's honor and God's glory. And then through the words of our text this evening in verse number 12, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith." And here he was encouraging him to serve the Lord and to get involved in Christian service. Now, whenever our soldiers enlisted in 1914, and in 1939 and in other conflicts, they were called to fight against the enemy at that particular time. Also during the troubles here in the province of Northern Ireland, our security forces were answering the call also to fight against the evil scourge of Republican terrorism. And in like manner, yes, we can say through the gospel, God also calls you and I to fight the good fight of faith. Yes, in this life in which we live, God is one who is speaking through His Word. And God is one who is calling for individuals, yes, men and women and young people alike, to stand for the Word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the handwriter says, "Fight the good fight with all thy might." Our text says, "Fight the good fight of faith." People, in the moments that are left this evening in the service, it is indeed this good fight of faith that I want us to think upon and to look at tonight from the Word of God. First of all, consider with me our enlistment into this good fight of faith. What does it mean to enlist in this good fight of faith? Well, to enlist in this good fight of faith, the Word of God makes it very clear, makes it very plain that you and I, we must repent of our sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, personally to be our Savior from sin. Acts chapter 20, verse 21 highlights that very fact, where it says, "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." What is repentance? Repentance means an acknowledgement before God of our lost, sinful condition in the presence of God. This is how it was with the publican in Luke's Gospel chapter 18 when he cried out, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." We can say further tonight that repentance also means a turning away from sin. And you see that in the life of the prodigal son who went into the far country and spent his substance in sinful and riotous living. Yet he realized his mistake, his waywardness. And the Bible says he arose. He came to himself. And it says he left the far country of sin. There was repentance in his life, a turning away from sin, a recognition of sin in his life. Again, the hymn writer sounds the same truth when they say, "I've wandered far away from God.
Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. And there the hymn writer was speaking of repentance before God in their life. That's what repentance is, an acknowledgement of our sin before God, a turning away from sin, a turning to God. And my faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ means you and I trusting alone in the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary for the pardon, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Yes, it means you and I trusting, yes, in that sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. It means also you and I trusting in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, trusting in Him alone for our acceptance before Almighty God. And this was the case with the Apostle Paul. My writing to the church at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 1, verse 7, he said of Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He was depending on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. Again, in his letter to the church at Philippi, he speaks further of Christ in Philippians 3, verse 9, and he says of Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And Paul, religious though he was, realized he must depend on the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone for his acceptance with God. By testifying of his faith in Christ for salvation, the Scottish preacher and hymn writer Horatius Bonner said these words, speaking of Christ. He says, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. He was depending upon Christ. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you are to enlist in this good fight of faith that is mentioned in our text this evening, here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, then, my friend, you must repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the sacrifice and in the person of Christ alone for the pardoning of your sins and for your acceptance before the Almighty God. Friend, in our meeting, this is what you must do. You are to enlist in this good fight of faith. Yes, our enlistment in the good fight of faith. But notice, secondly, here with me, notice the blessings of the good fight of faith. You see, whenever a person enlists in our armed forces, they receive certain resources to equip them for the battle. And likewise, whenever a person is saved and they become a soldier for Christ, they themselves receive particular and indeed personal blessings from God Himself in grace and in mercy. You see, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, you receive God's peace. You receive peace with God, the Bible says. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you receive. When you trust Christ as Savior, you receive peace with God. What does that peace mean? That means that you're now reconciled to God. God is now your heavenly Father. The Bible says, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This peace also means that all your sins are forgiven by Almighty God. You listen to the words of David, a man who knew this peace with God. In Psalm 103, as he speaks to God and to the Lord, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He was rejoicing in the forgiveness of all of his sins. But we can say further, this peace also means that you are saved. Saved from hell. Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from that place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. You see, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Friend, this is what it means for you to have peace with God through God's Son, through faith in Christ, the Son of God. There was once a regiment of Russian soldiers and they had mutinied. But upon condition of their surrender and the laying down of their weapons, their emperor promised them pardon. He promised that they would live, that they would have life. And they complied with the terms of the empire. They surrendered up to him. They laid down their weapons and they received a pardon from their emperor. And they lived. Their life was preserved. And friend, can I say this? The moment you surrender to Christ, to Jesus Christ as Savior, and trust Him as your Savior, you too will know God's pardon for your sin. You too will know peace with God. This is what you receive. When you trust Christ as Savior, you receive peace with God. But also whenever you trust Christ as Savior, you will obtain God's presence. Our brother was singing about that there in that final hymn that he sung. Yes, true, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, will dwell in your heart when you trust Christ as your Savior. Listen to the words of Christ in John 14, verse 16, when He says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Yes, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, the Lord, yes, will comfort you. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will guide you along life's journey. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, we read of two sorrowing disciples on the road to Emmaus. And the Bible tells us how the Lord Jesus Christ drew near. And He spake with them. And in verse 32 of that chapter, they testify. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us? By the way, they were comforted. They were blessed by the presence of the Lord with them in their time of need. The hymn writer says of the Lord, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. And there is no presence, I tell you, like the presence of the Lord. It is said that after the D-Day landings, Field Marshal Montgomery would often visit the soldiers in the front line of the battle. What for? To encourage them in the fight by His presence. And likewise, friend, whenever you're saved by faith in Christ, you too have the encouragement of the Lord's presence with you in your life day by day. For the Lord says to every soul that trusts Him, He says, for I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Yes, you'll know His presence, you'll know His peace when you trust Him as Savior. But also whenever you trust Christ as Savior, you will obtain God's power. Listen to the testimony of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 13. He could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He knew God's grace and strength and help in his life day by day to live the Christian life, to fight the good fight of faith. It has been said that the Lord may not give gold, but He will give grace. That the Lord may not give gain, but He will give grace. And that's the Lord's promise to all who trust Him. And yes, through that same grace, the Lord will enable you when you trust Him as Savior to serve Him and to live for Him in all the battles and all the trials and all the conflicts of life that come your way day by day. You see, the Lord is no disappointment to those that trust Him. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's His promise. To every man, every woman, every young person, whoever they are, who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Am I speaking to one in the meeting tonight? And is it a case that you're not saved? The reason that you're not saved tonight is because you're afraid of not keeping your salvation. Let me say to you in answering that matter that none of us whatsoever can keep our salvation in our own strength. That is something that none of us can do, no matter who we are. However, whenever you trust Christ as Savior, yes, He will save you. Not only will He save you, He will keep you. He will give you all the strength that you need to live the Christian life day by day. That's His promise. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says there, to those who trust the Lord, that the Lord will give grace. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, the Word of God says, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Man, woman, young person, boys and girls in our meeting tonight, let me say this, do not let the fear of failure keep you back from Christ. Don't let that fear keep you back from trusting Christ as Savior. As the hymn writer says, step out on the promise. Step out on the promise of God's Word. And get under the blood. Don't let the fear of failure keep you back from coming to Christ and trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. That's the blessings of this fight of faith, our enlistment into the good fight of faith. Notice one final thought here from our verse. Notice the goal of this good fight of faith. Look again at what Paul says in our verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and the verse number 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. And then he utters these words, lay hold on eternal life. You see, the very moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you receive God's wonderful gift of eternal life, of everlasting life. That's the Lord's promise. That's the Lord's gift. It's a gift that has been purchased in full by the blood of the cross. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you receive when you trust Christ as Savior. The gift of God, which is eternal life. This eternal life means the life of God within your soul. Christ says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yes, it means your soul going to heaven at death and your body being resurrected at the return of Christ unto everlasting life and everlasting glory in heaven itself whenever Christ returns in power and in great glory. No doubt that's what the psalmist David was thinking of when he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, David had the assurance of eternal life in his soul because he trusted the Lord as his Savior. He could say, the Lord is my salvation. My heaven is a place. The Bible tells us that it's a place that is sure, that is certain, that is eternal. It is a place where there will be no more death. Tonight is Remembrance Sunday. We remember the sacrifice of others, those that have died for our freedoms in days gone by. But in heaven there will be no death. There will be no wars in heaven. There will be no conflict there. There will be no sickness in heaven. There will be no coronavirus in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. There will be no separation in heaven. It will be a place of perfect peace, of eternal peace. You listen to what John says to you and I about heaven in Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 4. He says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Again in verse 27 of the same chapter, he says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie. There'll be no sin in heaven whatsoever. What a place heaven must be. The hymn writer says, what must it be to be there? What must it be to be there? This year, 2020, we have marked the 75th anniversary of the end of World War II. You think about that occasion. My, whenever this happened, there was great jubilation in our land and in our nation. It was also a time of glad reunions when loved ones who had been parted through war were now reunited again. There was jubilation. There was a coming together of loved ones again. And people, what is heaven? It's a place, the Bible says, of everlasting joy. Eternal joy, where joy never ends. Listen to what David says about heaven in Psalm 16, verse 11. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. A place of everlasting joy and jubilation. There's nothing there to dim the joy of heaven whatsoever. It's a place of everlasting joy, but it's also a place of glad reunions. You listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes about heaven in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. He says, "Therefore, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And there Paul was writing to other believers that he would never see again, that he would never meet again here on this earth in this flesh. But he was looking forward to a blessed and a glad reunion with them in heaven and in glory. Likewise, when we too are saved, we will meet, yes, with our saved loved ones in heaven. It'll be a place of everlasting joy, a place of glad reunions with loved ones who have gone on before. But best of all, we'll meet with Christ, our Savior. See him face to face, the one who loved us, the one who gave himself for us upon the cross, who died to save us. And my, we will be with him forevermore, the Bible says. The Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says we shall see him as he is. We'll see him, and my, we shall be like him. What a place heaven is. What must it be to be there? What must it be to be there? People, whenever we think of the freedom and the liberties that we enjoy today, let us not forget that they have been won for us at great cost, indeed at awful cost. Yes, there have been multitudes in World War I, World War II, and other conflicts, and here also in Northern Ireland, in our province, and they've paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice. They have laid down their life for our freedoms and our liberties today. The Bible says, greater love have no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And of course, that reminds us of those who have sacrificed their life out of love for their country, for our freedom, and for our liberties. Let us also remember tonight, dear friends, that the blessings of God's salvation, and I tell you this, there are no blessings to compare with those blessings. The blessings of God's salvation, the blessings of an eternal home in heaven, they have been paid for in full by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. Listen to what Christ says in John chapter 10, verse 11. He says there, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He gave up his life to death, even the death of the cross, a death of cruel ignominy and shame and sorrow and pain. The Bible speaks of Christ upon the cross and says, by his own blood, the sinless, precious blood of Christ, he obtained eternal redemption for us. And as Christ suffered and bled and died upon that cruel cross of Calvary, he purchased salvation, the blessings of salvation. He purchased a home, a place in heaven for all, whoever they are, wherever they may be found on this earth, who will trust him as Savior. Will put their faith and trust in the Son of God to save them from their sins. You might ask the question, why did he go to the cross? There's only one answer. The love of God. The love of Christ. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You and I, we cannot explain the love of Christ. But it is seen in his coming to this world. It is seen in him going to the cross willingly. The Bible says, as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb. Yes, there on the cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And there, my friend, you see the love of God, the love of Christ. The hymn writer says, there is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade nor fall, Jesus' love, precious love, boundless, pure, and free. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth with thee. Listen to those words. Oh, turn to that love. Weary, wandering soul, Jesus pleadeth with thee. Unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, let me say this. The words of that hymn are for you. Oh, turn to that love, weary, wandering soul. Jesus pleadeth with thee. Unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, may you respond to this same love tonight. Becoming in faith and in repentance unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And by trusting Him as your own and personal Savior. This, my friend, is the starting place for fighting the good fight of faith. Tell me tonight, are you fighting the good fight of faith? Have you enlisted in the Lord's army? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? As you sit in this meeting tonight, are you looking forward to heaven? Are you looking forward to glory? Oh, if you're not saved tonight, don't go away without the Lord. Come and put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior. He'll welcome you. He'll not turn you away. His promise is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the promise of Christ. Praise God, you can rest upon that promise tonight. Come as a sinner unto Christ. The Bible says He's a friend of sinners. Trust Him. He will save you. He will keep you unto life eternal. May God bless His word to all our hearts and souls this night. For Jesus' sake. Amen.